360 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey, but truly, you guys give that joy back to us exponentially. I am joined in the studio by a Catholic dream team.
Oh, here we go again.
Some special guest, too, is also on the starting lineup for the ATL Catholic, I don't know, dream team, is that it? All right, well.
It can quickly turn to a nightmare.
Yeah. But. Too fast.
Well, the best way we can keep it anchored in the dream and live that dream in line with our Lord's will is prayer. Allison, will you tee us off with a prayer today?
I sure will, and here we are in Holy Week, so let's start in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, as we walk with you through this Holy Week, deepen our understanding of your sacrifice and love. Help us to pause, reflect, and truly enter into your passion with reverence and gratitude. By his wounds we are healed, Isaiah 53:5. May this truth transform our hearts, cleanse us of distractions, and renew our spirit, that we may rise with you in new life. Grant us the grace to carry our cross with faith and to love as you have loved. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. In that last part, love as you have loved, I think that is certainly the touchstone of,
oh, yes.
You know, a great, just, yeah, really trying to anchor our will and unite it with God's. And one way is, I think, forgiveness. And Allison, I think you shared, there was something that hit you the other day in Mass.
Oh, yeah. Well, yesterday at Mass, right, when we're reading the Passion. Mm-hmm. The words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, that hit me. It hit me very strongly this time. I mean, it just jumped out because it's so easy when people let us down, when people hurt us, when we're irritated with people, to just write them off or be irritated and hold on to a grudge where we need to forgive. We need to truly forgive. And I had an incident, at pickleball yesterday. I played pickleball. Oh. And was playing with some moms and kids, and there was an incident with when I was playing with my son and playing against another mother-son comp team, and there was just a little bit of frustration going on in the game. And at the end, I just kind of just acted immaturely at the end, and I was like, why did I act that way? I'm saying that to myself, and I felt bad, so I reached out to the mom, and I apologized, and she was like, no, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, my son was having a rough time. But again, it's so easy for us to fall, and are we reaching out and asking for forgiveness as well?
Yeah, well, it's interesting, because that's the, first off, I didn't know pickleball was riddled with animosity.
It can get competitive, yeah,
I mean,
let's just say that.
That was kind of in my... Man, it got spicy on the badminton courts yesterday.
Well, really, Go Fish can get, you know.
Yeah. Anything can. Uno can get. I mean, any game,
well, we
anything.
All know Monopoly. No game in Monopoly has ever ended with the board on the right side up. It's just like, you know what? I'm out of here. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. But you know what's interesting in all seriousness? Okay, Jesus' 7 last words on the cross. Do you know what the first one is? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then think about the Our Father. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Yeah.
I mean, this really became the nucleus of some pretty important prayers and mission statements that the Lord put out there, right?
Oh, yeah.
It really was central. And the fact that he said it is the first of his 7 last phrases on the cross. It's the hardest one to do, I think, but obviously pretty important to him.
Well, he did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And here he is saying, Father, forgive that, forgive him, for he, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing. So who are we not to forgive and to reconcile? I mean, it's comes down to humility and getting rid of the pride.
Yeah. And can we show mercy in the face of cruelty, which is, by the way, that's our memory verse this week. All right. So pop quiz, everybody, coming your way.
I'm going to get 100% every single day.
I think you actually don't have to study for this one. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23:34. Were you about to say something, Dave?
Well, I was just going to say, because a lot of times when things happen, somebody wrongs you or you feel it, a lot of times they don't know what they have no intention of hurting you or doing anything
correct
wrong, you know, so you've got to keep that in mind.
Yes.
You know, there's this phrase I've heard. I've experienced a lot of tragedy in my life, and some of it happened.
Oh, yes.
Right.
I mean, so many times we build up this story and this narrative in our head of what the other person's intentions were, and I find like probably 90% of the time, and I'm probably shooting low here, I've totally missed the mark.
Well, it's true. And, you know, yesterday I did send a text message to the mom and I was like, I apologize, you know, for my little comment at the end. And she was like, you know what? No, don't worry about it. You know, it's fine. So it was nice reaching out to her because I am one where I just kind of internalize that. Right. And I'm like, Lord, I've got to get this. I need to complete this. Mm-hmm. So I was proud of myself. It took humility to do that. Right.
Yeah.
I was really embarrassed, but praise God.
Well, no more pickleball for you, Alice.
I know. I think I need a break.
Were you playing or were you a spectator? And
no,
you
I
got
was playing.
Feisty?
I play.
Okay.
I play. Well, I just to play more. That's what
well,
I need to
we're
do.
We're canceling the Quest pickleball tournament
no,
now.
No.
We can't have you.
No.
Well, we got an awesome show for you guys today. It's really exciting. We have Kathy McCormick, parishioner at St. Thomas Aquinas in Alpharetta, talking about John 12. It's going to be great. Our buddy Chuck Persner is going to help us get acquainted with the sainted. Our buddy St. Martin, the first pope and martyr. Tanner Midas with Mercy Missions in Atlanta will be talking about Holy Week missions and opportunities for high school students this week during Holy Week. They do such amazing work, and this is going to be a very important conversation. We got Gorness. I thought, I was like, is this guy have four names? Because it's spelled, it's hyphenated.
She was spelling it phonetically.
I was trying to help you out there.
Okay, I was like, this guy's name's Latin. Okay. Vito, because it says Gorness. Thank you, Allison, for what you were trying to do.
What's that Steve Martin line to Espionundus, Periamundus, huh? Whoops, forgot. You don't speak Latin.
A little sneak peek of what's on the way. Vito Gorin, as parishioner at St. Monica's in Duluth, will be talking about how he shares the love of Christ and his Catholic faith in everyday life. You're going to want to hear this.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. With Josh and Allison.
We are joined by Vito Gorness, parishioner at St. Monica's in Duluth, breaking down everyday evangelization in a way that's truly applicable and relatable for those of us in everyday life. So, so important. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks. I'm actually Troy McClure. You know me from such spots as Georgia United Credit Union, Reliable Heating and Air, and the voice of the family room on The Quest.
No, this is seriously so exciting because, Vito, you're in the world of broadcasting, right? And voiceover. So, and you're Catholic and you go to St. Monica's. So when I heard, I know you're good friends with Dave, I was like, we've got to have Vito on.
Yeah.
Well, and it's because of Vito that I'm here at the
Thank
Quest.
You, Vito.
Wow.
Thank you, Vito.
You said that just like we rehearsed it. Thank you.
Which is why a commission of Dave's check's been going to Vito since day one.
Well, they're indulgences. Just helping me out in the next few.
I love it.
I like it.
No, but truly, I mean, and we go and pray before each one of our shows each morning. And, you know, Vito tells us after we were praying, yeah, he was already at adoration this morning at 4 a.m.
I did get, I picked that slot not knowing what I was getting myself into. Been 10 years.
10
Praise
years.
God.
That I've been going to bed, as I said, like the morning show guy on Sunday nights. My family's like, well, 7 o'clock, night, Dad. Gotta get up.
You know what really impressed me about that, though, is that you had, like you said, I remember you saying, I was in bed like 7:30. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that takes some, we're in Lent. I mean, that takes some major discipline. The fact that you've been able to have a 10-year streak doing that, that is amazing.
Yeah, I tell you, it's just I'm very blessed, not to sound cliche, but truly blessed. I mean, you don't know how impactful sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament is.
Yeah.
You really don't until you do it and you look back and go, yeah, you know, that really did have an effect on, a positive effect on my life and our parish for that matter. Once
Absolutely.
We brought in the 24-hour adoration, it really was a game changer.
So I think about this because you've definitely been a tremendous influence on Dave, who's been a tremendous influence on us. Just a snapshot of how God's eternal flame never goes out when we touch the life of another person. How has evangelization like crept its way into the world that you live in, right? Because you're in a very secular context, very, you know, which you've done a whole lot in the radio world. And yet I think you figured out kind of a very tasteful rhythm to not hide, but also share your faith when it's appropriate. We'd love to hear more about
that. Well, first of all, they say that the priests and the clergy say, it's not up to us to evangelize. Mm-hmm. It's up to the parishioners, you in your everyday workplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that said, I have absolutely zero strategy. I take zero credit, and I have no ulterior motive at all. In fact, one of the things that Dave has brought up in the past, and I think he mentioned it to you guys, is I would often put things on my desk at my workstation, which I brought a few with me.
Nice. Oh,
fantastic.
So you get a feel. So it is. There's this, Jesus,
yes, Jesus and Mary. Right? Yes,
that's beautiful.
Hold it up to the camera.
Oh, okay. Where's the camera? Is that that light right there?
These are great things for the radio.
And then, there's Jesus, and then there's this guy,
Padre Pio.
Padre Pio. Holy cards.
So, that's amazing. So we got a Blessed Mother, Sacred Heart. I don't know what you call that thing that opens up.
It's
really beautiful.
It is, and it's just, I love the aesthetic. I just loved it. And so it was more for me.
Yeah.
There was never an intent to evangelize. There's no apologetics involved at all. And indirectly, you realize that people notice that stuff. They come in, they just see it every day. Mm-hmm. And then they go, oh, there's that. He's probably the Catholic guy. So, right?
Yeah.
And so back then, I remember there was a coworker of ours that, because of these things, he came to me and said, hey, you must be the Catholic guy. So I've got some Catholic questions. Huh. Okay.
Wow.
I guess this, in a way, was a way to say to people that I'm a follower of Jesus. But most recently, and this is very interesting, I've been helping a friend of mine record music at my home studio, and there's a song that he wrote, all the songs he wrote, and I'm just sort of sweetening the mix, as they say. And the opening line was something to the effect of, I don't believe in the clouds in the sky. And it was kind of like a modern day Imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just let it go. We did a mix of it. And then after we're done, he goes, can I ask your opinion? And he goes, do you think that's too extreme and this and that? But it was all based on the fact that I had these things.
Wow.
And he goes, looks like you're a follower. You're a believer.
Yeah.
Again, this stuff's in my home studio. I have no intention of anybody visiting the inner sanctum, the cave, the man cave. But once again, just as we're about to come and talk about how this sort of thing can be influential, the Holy Spirit can work through you just using little iconography.
That, wow.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So it opens dialogue, right?
And that's it. Just not being afraid to just have your holy reminders out. I remember when I was selling my house years ago, one of the real estate agents, not the one that I ultimately used, said, you need to take all the religious articles out of your house. It's got to be a clean slate. So when people walk in your house, they can visualize themselves being there because it might not be a Christian family. I was like, no, I'm not going to take my religious articles down. I had a huge statue of Mother Mary. I had the crucifixes. So again, what you're saying, Vito, just having those holy reminders there to help us, people see it and they're encountered by it. And the Holy Spirit does work.
Yeah. And the other really cool thing that I found is this guy was telling me, he's kind of wrestling with his wife's very agnostic, and he's raised Baptist, but yet he's like, but I'm really intrigued by the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. I thought, this is great. And the other cool thing about this guy is
Padre Pio.
Padre Pio, who is that? Who's that guy with the beard? What's he about?
Oh.
Well, I love talking about him because he's a modern saint, and he's got such a great story. Everything from seeing demons as a young child, thinking everybody could see them, to dismissing them, getting beat up physically by them in the monastery, his fellow brethren hearing a body being thrown around, and he would come downstairs and go, those horrible creatures, hey, can I get some coffee? That's the way he treated that experience. But that was a charism and a cross, in addition to having the stigmata for 50 years.
I know.
Right?
I know.
And then the month he died, they go away, and he dies in 68, which is the year I was born. So I love parlaying that and using that as an interesting story to at least say, hey, maybe there's something to this God thing.
And I think about that phrase, that scripture, they will know you by your love. Mm-hmm. And I think it gets overlooked, but they'll know you by your love of God. So mm-hmm. just the fact that you have these pictures, these icons, these cards up in a way that's not overbearing, but very tasteful, you know, people notice that. Right. And I think about this line in this radiating Christ prayer that the missionaries at Charity love to say. They say, Lord, let me preach you without preaching, not by words, but by my example, by the catching force, the sympathetic influence of what I do, the evident fullness of your love my heart bears to you. And that sounds like the strategy that you are implementing. You know, mm-hmm. just your life is the greatest sermon you can ever give. So, yeah, thank you so much, man, for walking the walk.
Of course. But the coup d'etat of this whole thing is I have a picture of Dave from circa 1990 at VIC in Lansing.
Yeah,
is that about the year you were there? Just to inspire me on the radio side, to keep me going and inspired to do my best.
I do what I can.
I didn't tell you this, Dave, but I have a picture of you in my wallet as well. Just for days I'm struggling.
Because, Dave, if caring's a crime, you're guilty.
Amen. That is a high note. Thank you so much, Vito, for making this segment so special and inspiring us on how we can evangelize tastefully in our everyday lives. We are so grateful.
Thank you.
Coming up, Chuck Persner is going to help us get acquainted with St. Martin, Pope and Martyr. Following that, we have Tanner Midas with Mercy Missions in Atlanta, talking about the Holy Week missions and opportunities for high school students. And coming up next, Kathy McCormick, parishioner at St. Thomas Aquinas in Alpharetta, joins us to unpack today's gospel.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell. Join Matt Swaim and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160, The Quest. But now, let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:20, and we are joined by a fan favorite, Kathy McCormick, our scripture scholar aficionado.
There he goes again.
We love you, Kathy.
Yeah, we are so grateful.
Well, I love you guys too. This is great. Yeah, happy Holy Week.
I know.
I guess, you know, it's winding down. We have a few more days of Lent, and then the Triduum.
And those are two words that should be together, happy and holy, or maybe joyful and holy, but still. Mm. And we're so grateful. The fact that you're going to unpack today's gospel in the most important liturgical week of the year, am I right?
Yeah, I would say so. This is the week that gives us the promise of salvation.
Amen.
And hopefully we can do what we can to follow the Lord on his journey.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Here is the Gospel of John. This is Monday of Holy Week. Gospel of John 12, 1 through 11, verse 1 through 11. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. They gave a dinner for him there, and Martha served, while Lazarus was one of those reclining at table with him. Mary took a liter of costly perfumed oil, made from genuine aromatic nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and dried them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, and one who would betray him, said, "Why was this oil not sold for 300 days' wages and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and held the money bag and used to steal the contributions. So Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her keep this for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." A large crowd of the Jews found out that he was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. And the chief priests plotted to kill Lazarus too, because many of the Jews were turning away and believing in Jesus because of him. And that is the gospel for today.
Mm.
Wow.
Amen.
Yeah, so, as I was reading this, a couple things. I like to compare Mary with Judas.
Oh, wow.
And let's look at what Mary did. Mary selflessly purchased, in some way, you know, this nard that was very expensive, broke the bottle, which means that it can't be put back together, and poured out the you know, anointed Jesus' feet and wiped with his with her hair. Total service, total humility. And then there's Judas, who kind of represented a worldly view, and kind of selfish, concerned with material gain. And though he, you know, acted, it says in here that he had no concern for the poor, but he kept the purse and stole from the contributions. It's very worldly and very lost in my mind, which Judas was very lost.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, for me, it's like, well, which one do you want to choose? who do you want to be like? You know?
Yeah.
Do you want to be like Mary, who, you know, is total devotion? And, or do you want to be devoted to the world?
You know, it's interesting, and I don't know if I'm the only one. I truly didn't realize until right now reading this that it was Judas the Iscariot who called her out.
Yeah.
And me, I mean, yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, he was the one that called her out. You know, why are you doing this? Why are you wasting that? Yeah. So that just...
Yeah, and you would think, I mean, maybe show a little more compassion in that moment. This woman just had her brother brought back to life. I mean, I think that some perfume and anointing is maybe not that high ticket of an item considering the miracle you just saw, literally a resurrected human being.
Oh, yeah.
After... I mean, like I said, was it 3 or 4 days after? And like you said, Mary, not Mary, like you said, Kathy, there's a huge juxtaposition here. I mean, Mary of Bethany loves Jesus. Judas pretends, you know, is there's betrayal there. Mary pours out this costly perfume in worship. Money is literally not an object when she thinks about the majesty of the Lord. Judas complains about money being wasted. I mean, we could go on and on. One gives extravagantly, another takes deceptively.
Well, and it also shows, too, the condition of each of their hearts, right?
Totally.
Because for him to be doing these things and to not, you know, to steal money from the poor and not be silent when she pours the oils over Jesus's feet, we can kind of reflect on that and go, okay, where is our heart right now, right? Yeah. Or what is going on in our life right now? Are we like Mary or are we like Judas in our daily life? Where is our heart?
Yeah.
Or poor Martha and just serve.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
There's, and Martha served.
Yes.
You know, there she goes again, serving. I love Martha. I think she gets a bum rap.
And they're both absolutely critical.
Yes.
You know, you got to be Mary
and you know, balancing
Martha.
You know, we always talk about, let's balance your Mary and your Martha.
Yeah.
You know? And do that. Interesting, too, that they plotted to kill Lazarus.
Yeah.
You know, the tradition suggests that Lazarus, Martha, and possibly Mary traveled to Gaul with John and Mary, the mother of God. That's tradition. There's nothing in the Bible that says that, but tradition says that. There's a lot of different traditions surrounding what happened to Lazarus and Martha and Mary. And so it's, you know, you think about after Jesus died, you know, Lazarus and, you know, that here's, you wonder what went on during, after all of that, for these people. And it sounds like people were coming to see him because they heard that he was risen from the dead by Jesus. So, you know, and they, you know, the chief priest plotted to kill Lazarus too. So, you know, I think that there's just this whole spiritual and worldly, you know, Jesus and the world, what do you want to follow? And, you know, it's hard to be in this world, but not of this world. Mm-hmm. And I think that's who we are as children of God. We're in this world, but we are of our Creator. And trying to make sure that we recognize that. You know, Judas, you know, Jesus said, Judas, I'm not always going to be with you here on earth, you know, have her save this oil for my burial, because it's coming. And, you know, this is a way that she can honor God. And, you know, how do we honor God now? And what can we do, especially during Holy Week?
Yes.
What can we do to truly honor what he's walking into, the sacrifice of his life, and doing that in love and forgiving on the cross, and all of that, taking on all our sin.
Yeah.
I'm at a loss for words with the amount of love that is for us. And to really stop and recognize that and sit with that for a while, that there is a creator who loves us so much to sacrifice so much and take on our sin.
Yeah. And I think one other thing to think about is, you know, as Mary broke this perfume in love of the Lord, you know, when we give God our best, when we just pour our hearts out before him like a fragrant offering, and aren't afraid to, you know, do that and show our love for him, you know, so our love also fills up a room or the environment like a fragrant offering.
Amen.
It is palpable.
Yeah.
It definitely, you know, awakes the senses. So thank you so much, Kathy McCormick, our dear friend and parishioner, St. Thomas Aquinas. And if you are interested in joining Kathy's Bible study, where can they find you, Kathy?
Well, they can contact St. Thomas Aquinas for sure. We have our last Acts of the Apostles lesson this week, and then we're going to take a break and probably start in the fall with a new Bible study. But I'll keep you informed.
Thank you, Kathy. We're so grateful.
Thank you.
I'm Josh Harris. It's 8:30, and a record number, some good news, a record number of men recently gathered to discern becoming Catholic military chaplains. The retreat organized by the Archdiocese for the Military Service drew 37 participants, making it the largest turnout ever. The event took place April 3rd through the 6th at St. Patrick's Seminary in Menlo Park, California. Attendees included ROTC cadets, active duty servicemen, civilians, a Marian religious brother representing over 25 dioceses nationwide. Currently, only 7% of military chaplains are Catholic priests, despite Catholics making up 25% of the U.S. Armed Services. Archbishop Timothy Broglio celebrated Mass and encouraged attendees in their calling. Another discernment retreat is planned for this fall in Baltimore. For more information, visit milarch.org. That is milarch.org. Later in the show, Tanner Midas with Mercy Missions will be talking about the Holy Week mission opportunities for high school students. But next, our dear friend Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Martin.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey.
With Josh and Allison. Monday, Get Acquainted with the Sainted is sponsored by Versprite.
It is 8:35.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Ground Chuck. Chuck's Doug.
People going with Ground Chuck for
Chuck
a while.
Chuck with Chip, Chuck of Cheese.
Save a few for after Easter, after Holy Week. So April the 13th was the feast day of St. Martin the First, who reigned as the 74th Pope from the year 649 until his martyrdom in the year 655. This year, his memorial happened to fall on Palm Sunday, so we'll get back to celebrating him liturgically next year. But in the meantime, I thought we could talk about him on this Monday of Holy Week.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow, the week is flying. The Lenten season is flying.
I know.
And, you know, Pope Martin the First was in actuality a last of sorts. He was the last of the early popes to be venerated as a martyr. Of the first 31 men to serve as the vicar of Christ, 28 were martyred. And, you know, this is a grim and shocking reality, and it's a testimony to the power of Christianity, the power of the truth. Martin was born in a small town about 100 miles north of Rome. He was of noble birth, an excellent student. And he exercised great charity towards the poor. As a cleric, he assisted two popes in important roles in the year 641. He was sent by Pope John IV across the Adriatic Sea to Dalmatia and Istria, which is modern-day Croatia, where he assisted those who had suffered the effects of what was a very bloody war. After the death of John IV, Theodore I was elected pope, and Martin became his papal legate to Constantinople, where he worked closely with the emperor and patriarch representing Pope Theodore in these matters. In the 7th century, it's important to understand theological and political tensions prevailed between the Western Church, centered in Rome, and then the Eastern Church in Constantinople. This is largely due to the interference by the Byzantine emperor. The emperor and patriarch in Constantinople, which I should point out is modern-day Istanbul, Turkey, had enjoyed a strong religious and political influence over the entire church ever since Constantine the Great Christianized the Roman Empire in the 4th century. So this influence grew after the Western Roman Empire fell in the 5th century and was strengthened further in the 6th century when the Byzantine Emperor, Justinian I, conquered Italy and forced the Goth-appointed Pope to resign in the year 537, naming the papal legate to Constantinople as the new Pope. So let's fast forward to the year 649. Pope Martin I called the Lateran Council of 649, and this is a council that his predecessor, Pope Theodore, had intended to call, but had passed away prior to it, and it made monothelitism the topic of discussion. Now, there was...
Big-time heresy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's one of the ones wherein we're told that Jesus was not given free will.
Yeah, he essentially only had one will, divine will, and it just denies the reality of his human nature.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's...
Fully God, fully man.
Yep, yep. And again, Holy Week, this is the week when we really focus on this. This is the message when our Lord says, I am, right? The readings, as we know, have been picking up steam, and we're getting closer and closer. The confrontations are becoming, more intense, because Jesus is that man on a mission, and we know this is why he was put to death. And, this whole movement was one of the earliest attempts of a pope to act on his own authority without the emperor. The Lateran Council was well represented. There were 105 bishops on hand. They held 5 sessions and issued 20 decrees condemning this idea of monothelitism. And when Pope Martin I began publishing this new teaching throughout Rome and beyond, the emperor sought to have him arrested or killed if necessary. And the emperor first sent a bishop of lower rank to Rome to oppose the pope and cause a schism. He was unsuccessful, so the bishop is said to have ordered a soldier to murder the pope during the mass, essentially putting a hit on the pope. But that soldier was struck blind, and the bishop later did repent. The emperor sent another bishop with a Byzantine army to the pope, and this time they were successful in capturing Pope Martin I and in bringing him back to Constantinople. At this point, he was becoming older and frail. He was already ill when he was captured. He had been abused. Lack of decent food caused his condition to worsen during the 3 months at sea. And Allison, I think you actually have an excerpt from a letter he had sent to someone, which kind of captures his condition at this point.
Yeah, St. Martin, he said, "It is now 47 days since I have been permitted to wash myself either in cold or warm water. I am quite wasted and chilled and have had no respite either upon sea or land from the flux which I suffer. My body is broken and spent, and when I would take any nourishment, I want such kind of food as is necessary to support me, and have a perfect aversion and loathing to what I have. But I hope that God, who knows all things, when he shall have taken me out of this world, will bring my persecutors to repentance." Wow.
Yeah, so this is, ultimately the emperor ordered the church in Rome to elect a new pope, even though Pope Martin I was still alive.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is just the final blow to an abused and quite beleaguered man in Pope Martin. And, seeking only the good of the church, he did acquiesce to the humiliation, what this is, and essentially accepted the fact that he was being abandoned by the leaders of the church in Rome. So this must have been a very, very difficult thing for him to accept. And he even said of all he suffered, it is said that the abandonment by the church leaders really caused him the most pain and anguish. And not long after being exiled, he would die due to the abuses, the exposure, the malnourishment. And for that reason, the church does consider him a martyr.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Patron saint of those persecuted by the state.
Yeah.
And wow, and the church, oh my gosh, again, what he is saying, he just wants repentance from them after all he's going through. I mean, what a faith.
Yeah. And again, here we see during Holy Week, as our Lord faces his abandonment.
Yes.
Amazing that this feast day would fall during Holy Week, because during this week we see our Lord abandoned.
Divine, all, identical.
Here's Pope Martin the First being abandoned.
Man, mirrors this.
Yeah, it's a pretty heroic story. I mean, he's illegally arrested by imperial forces in 653 and dragged to Constantinople in chains.
Yeah.
I mean, he endured this public humiliation, accused of treason for supposedly aligning with the Muslims. False charges, by the way.
Oh, of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talk about embracing the passion of our Lord. And there is, I think, a particular cross that certain saints experience, like St. Oliver Plunkett.
Yes.
Right, with false accusations.
Yep.
And guess who went through that? Our Lord and Savior, right? He died from mistreatment and neglect in 655. And just that letter, Allison.
I know.
That last part, where you're praying for your persecutors' repentance.
Mm-hmm.
What does that sound like? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do.
Yep. Very appropriate saint to celebrate this week.
Yeah.
And somewhat of a forgotten man. You know, it's an optional memorial. Again, this year it fell on a Sunday, so we didn't get around to him, but we will next year. And again, a great role model, the last of the martyred popes, and a man that I know many of the future popes would take on as a man who they really admired.
Mm-hmm.
There's no growth in comfort, no comfort in growth. Sometimes truth is a very lonely road to traverse.
Oh, yeah.
But we're never truly alone.
Yeah.
Amen.
Like that road to Emmaus, the Lord is walking beside us, even if we don't recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a good message. There could be a number of our listeners going through something like this right now, where they feel as though they're being betrayed, whether it be through their family or their workplace. And we take solace in men like this who show us the way to do it. As you said, Josh, he's asking for forgiveness for his persecutors. And he swallowed his pride and he acquiesced to this essentially false pope while he was still alive, the ultimate insult. But he did it in order for the good of the faith, and would go on to earn the martyr's crown.
Yeah, and a quote of his from in exile, "I thank God that I've been considered worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus."
Wow.
I mean, just a recurring theme you hear in the book of Acts. They're rejoicing after their persecution, saying, "Thank you, Lord, that we were deemed worthy to suffer for you." And it's like, well, that's a noble thing to aspire to. But I'll be honest, Lord, if you want me to be there, if you want us to be there, it's only going to be through your grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those words were really spoken and echoed by St. Peter, the first pope. So perhaps St. Martin was channeling his predecessor.
Mm.
Pope St. Martin the First.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
You're listening to
The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And every now and then, Dave.
Every now and then, Dave, our resident dad.
Especially on Mondays, right?
Yes, Monday memes.
Of course.
You never know what they're going to be. Inspirational, silly, everything in between.
Yeah.
I think this is appropriate to start off for this week. He didn't wait for me to get it right. He died knowing I couldn't and loved me anyway.
Oh, praise God.
Oh, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Try to remember the greener grass across the fence may be due to septic tank issues.
But truly, the grass sometimes, you know, it looks green on the other side,
right,
but it's not always, hence like you said.
Exactly.
Mm.
I'm often mistaken for an adult because of my age.
That's I like that. That's good.
Here's a quote from Mother Angelica. If Catholics would rise up and be truly Catholic, the world would change overnight.
Amen to that. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine what the world would be like if everybody had to do a mandatory holy hour every week.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, pretty radical.
If you hide 48 eggs until your kids are 50, you can get a little nap in.
Oh, my gosh.
You never know how much you don't know until you have a toddler who asks 400 questions a day.
Oh,
and if you've ever had toddlers.
Yes.
Like that was that last one you said, if you hide, what was that last
if
one?
If you hide 48 eggs and tell the kids there's 50, you get a little nap in.
My mom did that on Easter.
Did she really?
Yeah, it was a really weird Easter last year. I was just looking all over the place.
Did you ever find
looking
him, John?
For those last two eggs.
Yeah. You're 38. It's time to go to bed.
You know, it turns out you can just buy a birthday cake anytime and eat it yourself. Nobody checks.
Oh.
You know, you can also buy a black belt.
Yeah, you can.
I don't know if you should.
Yeah. Albert Einstein quote, "The more I study science, the more I believe in God."
Amen.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we'll close on this one. We often hear life is short, better enjoy it. How about eternity is long, better prepare for it?
I love that. What a great way to end the memes.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Coming up at 1 this afternoon on AM 1160 The Quest. Join me for The Doctor Is In. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:48, and we are so happy to have Tanner Midas here with us with Mercy Missions Atlanta, and he's also a parishioner at St. Peter Chanel, and this is exciting. He's going to be talking about the Holy Week missions opportunities for high school students this week. Holy Week. So welcome to The Quest, Tanner.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be here today.
Oh, I'm thrilled. And, you know, shout out to Catholic World Mission because I got a message from them, from Messenger, talking about this. I had no clue. And I was like, I've got to have you on. So I'm so grateful you're able to come on and share this with us. So what kind of opportunities are out there for the high school students this week?
Yeah, it's a great question, Allison. So we've been doing this for about 8 years now. And there has been just a ton of support from major Catholic schools in the area, Pinecrest Academy, Holy Spirit. So this year, we've already got 110 plus high schoolers signed up to join us in Atlanta. We'll be operating at St. Pius High School, and we'll bus them all over the place, right? So our team works collaboratively with nonprofits all over through the downtown area. So major ones like Gateway Center, Salvation Army, a lot of these names you probably know.
Yeah.
But we'll place those kids in different service blocks and opportunities throughout Atlanta, right? On the streets, encountering those in the most need this Holy Week. And so it's an overnight experience for 4 days.
Stay
with
us. 4 days?
They stay 4 days, yeah. So we'll get them Thursday, and then they'll leave Sunday morning. And so they attend all of the liturgies and the vigil at Basilica of Sacred Heart with us. And then we do different formational activities with them, and we do service activities. We actually do a live Stations of the Cross run by Atlanta Police. That they take us right through downtown Atlanta. So it's jam-packed with just different service opportunities, different formational opportunities, as well as just team building for these high schoolers, led by college students throughout. And they'll break into different teams of 10, get to know their teams, and then just send them out all over the place this Holy Week.
Wow. God bless you guys for that. You know, a good friend of mine, Father John Klein, I went and joined him on one of the missions. When it was at Cristo Rey, I spoke in one of the Mercy Missions events. But then I think earlier that day, we went out and took prayer requests with people in the city, like downtown Atlanta. And we had a cross and we would nail the prayer request to the cross.
Oh, wow.
And it was you didn't have like an agenda. It was like, hey, how can I pray for you? What's your prayer request? And then you would, you know, gather up the requests and you nail it.
I had trouble placing you, Josh, but like that is Mercy Missions Holy Week. So Father John Klein's our chaplain. So that's amazing that you've even been.
Yeah, it's a tremendous experience. And I love that you guys really get these high schoolers out in real world evangelization. You know, it's learning by doing.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you know, the intersection of faith and action. It's a wonderful, wonderful mission you guys are on.
Yeah, because I think when we first started doing this, the interesting part was we were really set out to help those in need on the streets. But what we saw is it's a two-way street. You know, we end up like learning more from those we encounter versus the ones that we set out to do in the first place. And so the high schoolers really end up leaving changed. It's amazing.
Which is nice because, I mean, Holy Week, what a great time to focus on the Lord and what really happened and what a pivotal place for transformation to take place in their life. Holy Week, serving. And just like you said, when we serve others, we get more out of it than we ever imagined.
Yeah, what does the Lord have in store for all of us this Holy Week? You know,
No, absolutely.
So, can people still sign up, or is it sold out?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So, the high school 4 day is nearly sold out. It closes today. The opportunity that I wanted to speak on today was our Holy Saturday track. Right, if you can't commit to the full 4 days, the big commitment. We also offer it for college students and young adults too. Right, so you don't just have to be a high schooler. And so that's going to happen on Holy Saturday. I think it's the 19th April from 8 to 5. And we'll be partnering with Missionaries of Charity. We'll be partnering with a lot of outreach to go meet people where they're at. Right. That's what Jesus did in his final days. Right. Is go meet people where they're at. And so that's what we're going to be doing on Holy Saturday. It's open to high schoolers, young adults, and college students. This Saturday. And then also the other piece that we've always been really proud of is that Living Stations of the Cross, right? So on Good Friday at 1 p.m. at the Basilica of Sacred Heart in downtown, all 200 plus of our missionaries will gather.
Wow.
And led by Atlanta Police through a procession of Peachtree Street, right? So we close down the whole street.
Wow.
Followed by all missionaries with a living passion, right? So we're reenacting the actual passion. And just the look on people's faces in Atlanta, you know you leave an impact.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Just hearing about this.
I didn't know about the living stations of the cross. That's incredible. And so do y'all have to get some streets blocked off for that? Or?
Yeah. Peachtree Street, right?
Yeah, it's Peachtree Street right next to the Basilica of Sacred Heart. So Atlanta police will show up with like 6 motorcycles, and they'll do a rolling closure of the street, followed by, you know, our truck with the sound system, and then all of our actors, right, that reenact the passion.
Wow.
It's a living. Like they are acting the passion,
and you're right, amplifying the narrative through a speaker system.
Yeah, we'll have like music and the speakers to lead us through the stations, the whole city, right? We'll people gather on the streets.
Whoa.
As we come through.
Is this a new thing, or did y'all?
This is about the fourth or fifth year we've been doing it. And it's always been just, you know.
Does a crowd show up? I mean.
Yeah, for sure. Like, people stopping. I mean, it's kind of a captive audience, right? Because Atlanta police is kind of shutting it down as they go. But people definitely come out of restaurants and on the sidewalks, right?
Their office buildings.
You see people in the skyscrapers looking down on you, you know, you go through the streets. You know, it's pretty remarkable.
Well, and then what a great opportunity as well, you know, for parishioners at different parishes to come take MARTA or park somewhere to experience that.
Yeah, 100%. That's always been a dream of ours, right? Is how do we get the greater Atlanta community? Because we don't want just the missionaries, right? This is an experience that we want the greater Atlanta community to have.
That's incredible. And so are these high schoolers or college kids playing these characters? And then I'm assuming the kids that are on retreat are sort of surrounding the is it on the back of a truck, you said? Like, what is it? How do you present this?
Yeah, so it's led by a truck, right, with a sound system. Father John Klein's up there with a couple other people. And then their actors are mainly college students and young adults led by our team. They've, you know, rehearsed the passion and make sure that they have it. They're all, you know, dressed up in what you would see. It's almost like watching a scene out of the Chosen. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And so then it's followed by all of our missionaries, right? They process after that with Atlanta police all around us. Yeah.
I mean, that is amazing. I had no clue this was going on. That's where I'm like, praise God for this show. I mean, and that we can share this with everybody because I had no idea.
For sure.
And how many people out there are probably wondering, what can I do this Holy Week? Mm. What can I do to grow my faith stronger and stronger this year?
Yeah, no, 100%. This is one of the great ways that you could do that, for sure.
And it's on a Saturday, right?
So the stations is on Friday, right?
Good Friday. Okay.
At 1 p.m.
Yes.
At the Basilica.
Wonderful.
Wow, that's fantastic. And so, if someone is listening right now and feels called to serve or be involved, what's the first step they can take to get involved? What's the step they can take to learn more?
Yeah, for sure. Our website's updated with all the latest information, so mercymissionsatlanta.com. You can click on the Holy Week tab to see the four-day track. There's also a Holy Saturday tab that has all the Holy Saturday information from 8 to 5.
Yeah.
And then Living Stations of the Cross. We're going to send out an email, but it's really just word of mouth at this point. And then there's also, it's on the Archdiocese website this year, which is exciting. So, but that's at Good Friday, 1 p.m., Basilica Sacred Heart.
And then what is your favorite part of serving in Mercy Missions Atlanta?
Gosh, it's a hard question, you know. I've been doing it for 8 years, and I'm a convert, so how I found the church in general.
Converts so, in the house.
Are you a convert?
Yeah.
Oh, let's go. That's awesome. I think for me, putting it all together is obviously a joy, but there's really nothing like just being face-to-face with somebody just in need in the streets. Just getting to encounter that person, right? Everyone has a story. Everyone wants to be heard. Everyone's, one of the biggest things we see on the streets is loneliness.
Yes.
You know, people are pretty well fed. You know, a lot of people, the shelters provide food, but who's there to listen, you know? And so to sit down with somebody, just hear their life story, pray with them, bring Christ into it, and you just, you know, you leave changed. And so for me, that's like always one of the best moments, but also stations, you know, you just can't beat it. It's so good. And then we also do a holy hour in Garden of the Gethsemane with all the kids right on Holy Thursday.
Wow. And where is that?
That's at our base, St. Pius Catholic School, where we do all of our operations.
Wonderful. And that's at the website for more information about all of these events. And what is that website again?
MercyMissionsAtlanta.com.
Wow.
Thank you so much, Tanner Midas with Mercy Missions, sharing about how you guys will be touching hearts and changing lives and hopefully saving souls this Holy Week. Amazing mission you're on. If you want to learn more, go to mercymissionsatlanta.com. Did
That's
I get
right.
that right? Mercymissionsatlanta.com. It's been a privilege. Thank you guys so much for joining us. And remember our memory verse of the day. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23:34. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.